Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start with verses 13 through 16. And we're going to go right here to the board. If you have your cell phones and fax machines and scanners, if you put them in the silent and off position, here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Light, Fire, and Power. Light, Fire, and Power. And as I went before the Lord this week, God was showing me the attributes, the essence of who God is in our life, how He demonstrates through us, in us, light, fire, and power. That's right. We don't need nuclear power. We don't need solar power. We need Holy Ghost power. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Well, we're going to see something throughout this message on different aspects. How fire attracts, how light is used, how the power is used, and how to receive that power. Many of you receive the power of the Holy Spirit right at confession of your faith. Some of you right after baptism. Some of you maybe a week or two after baptism. You know, with God, there's no timetable. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When he's ready to fill you with the Spirit, look out. You will no longer be the same. You'll be a new creature in Christ. Amen? By faith. So are we there at Matthew 5:13? And let's read the word. Here we go. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Okay, so we're looking at salt, light, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let's see that again. A town built on a hill that cannot be what? Hidden. Look at verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And so, saints, when the Spirit of God is present, God will cause His fire to burn bright. Notice fire to burn bright in our lives. His light to shine bright, and His power will be demonstrated to glorify Him. You see, what God wants from your life is that you would glorify Him. God is always looking for the glory that would come forth out of your life. Let me just say this. He didn't waste anything with us. Despite of how you feel, despite of your medical condition, your mental capacity, your faults and your failures, your flaws, He saved you despite of that. So that He can get glory from your life. Why? Because when God heals you, you will testify.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When you share the love of God with someone and they come to Christ, you will testify. See, God is looking that your light so shine bright that glory and honor would be given to Him only. Listen, He doesn't want to share His glory with no one. Because if you're going to share His glory, then He don't want none of it at all. He wants all the glory. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So, let's look at number one here. His fire attracts. So there's a fire that attracts. Can I get an amen? And I love to go back to the Old Testament just to get a parallel view. Always go back to look ahead to see what God has done. And so, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Look at this. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. How does that happen? See, only God can burn a fire without you being consumed. Just imagine if he truly filled his glory inside of you, his full glory, we would disintegrate. This is why he told Moses, you cannot look at me. The day you look at me, you will disintegrate. You will die. So Moses had to turn, and all he caught was the coattails of his robe, the backside, when God walked by. Look at this, verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is what? Holy ground. Holy ground. Let me ask this question. Have you made your home a sanctuary that it's now a holy ground? When you got saved, did you go in and just revamped it? Said, man, I'm not listening to that no more. I'm not watching that no more. You know what? I'm just going to have praise and worship going on, that I could sing the praises that are due to him. But that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. And this is why I love God. God is long-suffering with us. Patience. You know he's patient with us? Because some of us are big knuckleheads. I didn't say all. I said some. So if you feel like you're not, then you're not part of the some. Amen? Look at verse 6 here. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So would I. I would have been afraid. Man, just imagine the sight he saw. A burning bush, and it was not being consumed. We saw what fires really do, don't they? We saw what? A few weeks ago. Neighborhoods after neighborhoods. How many alerts down here do we have? Several of them. Get ready to evacuate. Wow. All of Palisades is gone.
Did you hear what they said about how, like, the night before, what they said at the global wars?
Yes, there was a huge mocking of God, wasn't there? And then the next day, wow. Well, be careful. Be careful. What should come out from our mouths is worship and praise. And especially when we entreat one another. We need to entreat each other like how God entreats himself upon us. Amen? He's not a bully to us. He's a lover to our soul. The Bible says he's the bishop and lover of our soul. You see, my friends, the fire of God is a manifold manifestation of his power. It drew Moses to him, and it repelled Israel's enemies. It repelled them. That same fire drew the Israelites and expelled and cast away the enemies. You know, I've heard it said best regarding the Bible. If you open the Bible, it will draw you in. But if you never read it, it'll draw you away from God. It'll expel you no differently. But when you open it up, the fire of God starts to permeate. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and reading the Word of God. And so when we read God's Word, God's speaking to you. And it's still a little voice. But that same fire, it gave Israel heat and light by night. So then he caused it to be warm and light so they can see. Listen, there was no spotlights out there and traffic lights in the desert. Just imagine, all you had was just the light from the stars and maybe a full moon. That's about it. Everything else was pitch dark. Wow. And did you know that everyone's work since the day we got saved will pass through the fire? Did you know everything you do will still have to go through the fire? Oh, that's right. Listen, I need you to catch this, saints. We'll move forward with this. There's going to be still two future judgments. One for the believer and one for the unbeliever. The believer is called the judgment seat of Christ, where we all stand before Christ and now we give an account of what we did since we've been saved. And then it's going to go through the fire. What remains is ours. And what's burned away, he takes it away. What do I mean by that? Because a lot of things we do it either selfishly or we did it with the wrong what? Motive. Motives are really what God looks at. What's your motive? To be seen by men? What's your motive? To truly give me praise, glory, and honor? What's your motive? And so we're going to see this so I could back this up by the Word. Because a lot of times you say, well, show me that, Pastor Fee. Where does it say that? It says it right up here. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each, say that with me, but let each, one more time, but let each, that's all of us, take heed on how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than what which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Now look at this, verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. Notice capital D. That's the day we stand before him. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work. All of our work is going to be tested, what we do for Christ. Of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. How many love rewards? Today is my beloved's birthday. So she's going to get, probably, I'm going to assume, maybe a birthday gift. Those are pleasant to have. Those are wonderful to have, aren't they? And especially if you receive a reward. Well, Jesus is going to reward all of us in one way or the other. But he's also going to take away some things if they were done with the wrong motive. See, this is what God looks at. He looks at what's behind closed doors. He looks at what's happening in your family's house. Your own room. Are you honoring him or are you dishonoring him? Look at this in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Okay, so there's some things. Listen, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tattletale on me. And not so much tattletale, but I'm just coming with you with truth. I've been pastoring this church for about 18 years. Was it for the right motive or the wrong motive? Was it laboring in vain or unvain? Listen, all I know is this. No matter what it was, it's going to have to go through the fire. Whatever I've did is going to go through the fire. Whatever you've done is going to go through the fire. And there's nothing we can do about it. Look, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. There may be some things on loss because maybe I had the wrong motive. I don't know that. We try to operate with a pure heart, but was there a motive behind it? He sees everything from the past, present, and future.
Right.
We can't hide nothing from him.
Right.
And so look at this. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yet so as through fire. Look at this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you? Now here's the key. Look at this. Look at verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Did you catch that? If anyone defiles. Wow. That's a heavy duty word. You know what? That means making a mockery of God. And you know the truth. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, so there's going to be a test for all of us. The day we see him on that day. But let me just say this. Know this. That second line up there. But he himself will be saved. Did you catch that? You've heard me said, man, if I make it in, I made it in, and there was some smoke behind me. And I say it in a way where, like, you know what? Whether he burns all the work away or not, I still get to get in. We still get to get in. There's a little joke I'll throw in here real quick. There's a little joke that I heard. So the rapture took place. Everyone's in heaven. And there's a line standing for this moment right here, what we're reading. Everyone's standing before Christ. So everyone's in line that's up there. And this one young kid up there, he's waiting his turn. And there's a little old lady getting blessed by Jesus. I'm giving you this mansion. I'm giving you this. I'm going to give you the treasures. You're going to have this whole region for yourself. And that young kid was going, man, if she got that, wait till you see what I'm going to get. Because I done this for God. And I did that for God. And I've done this and that and that and that. And so she was done. And she went into the joy. So now here he comes. And Jesus ran his whole life right before him. Because he could go and run your whole life. He goes, enter into the joy of the Lord. He goes, where's my gift? He goes, right here. It was a Schwinn 10 speed. He goes, take it with you. And he walked away like, not discouraged, but wow. He thought he was going to get all this and that. So the next day, he's sitting on the, he's riding his bike. He comes to the corner of Hallelujah Lane. And someone said, hey, I remember you were in line. He goes, what did you get? A 10 speed. He goes, are you okay with that? He goes, yeah, it bothered me for a moment. But you see that guy over there? Oh, yeah, I see him. What's he on? He's on a skateboard. He goes, who's that? He goes, that's my pastor. That was the moral of the story. So, you and I, we must learn to truly do the work of the Lord with the right motive. Can I get amen? With a pure heart. You really want to see this person healed. You really want to pray for this person. You really want to see this person grow. I want to teach this person the Word of God. I want to speak the Word of God in their life. I want to raise up my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to love my husband. I want to love my wife unconditionally. I don't want to bicker. I don't want to be bitter. I want to walk with joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you come to that place, then God will use you mightily, and there will not be a hidden agenda. He will reward you when it's due time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Come on, give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew. I found this in Matthew 3:11. Look at this. This is John the Baptist, I believe. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. And who is he talking about? His primo. His cousin. John was talking about his cousin that was coming, which is Jesus. Remember, they were first cousins. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Fire.
There's that fire. Listen, you need that fire of the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost with fire comes in you, you won't be able to hush your mouth. You will tell people about Jesus. You will call them up. You wouldn't be ashamed to tell them on your job site. You won't be afraid to tell your family members. Well, I don't know what. Oh, I got to. Oh, you know. No. You're going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to ask God, give me that little crevice that I can walk in and share you, God. You're always going to be looking for that divine moment to share Christ with them. Why? Because the fire of God will be in you. You cannot contain the fire. And so look at this. His winnowing fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. And since the cross, he's been gathering us in the barn. Can I get amen? Because we're not tares in here. We're the wheat.
Amen.
He's gathering us for that day. Look at this. Into the barn. And he, look at this. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Look at verse 6. Oh, let's look at this now. Let's go to the light of Christ in us. The light of Christ that's in us. Praise God. Now, we're going to read a story right here. It's going to be in the Word. I'll bring it up right now. But the fire and the light did two things. Because the light can also cause you to be blind. Remember what we just read when Moses was up and he saw the burning bush. And then God later on in that book said, don't look at me or you will burn up. Because that light, you cannot contain it. That's the glory of God. Well, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing changes with God. He is always going to be who he is. And so we're going to see that light can blind us or give us tremendous supernatural sight. It could blind you or give you his divine sight. Woo! And where do we find that in Scripture? Are you just shooting this from the hip? No, we got to go to the Word. Amen? The Word will explain it all. Amen? Here we go. Let's go to Acts 9, 1 and 1. Look at this. Then Saul, remember Saul of Tarsus? Before he became Paul the Apostle, he was a persecutor of the way. What was the way? That was the movement of the born-again believers. When Jesus rose again and the Holy Ghost was poured out, they formed together a unity and they were called the way. And they were on fire for God. And the more they were persecuted, the more they grew. You see, sometimes we need to be persecuted in order for us to do something. Or we're going to be comfortable and just relax. And we become pew potatoes. But look at this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from it to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, there it is, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So his mission, Saul of Tarsus, was to destroy the church of the living God. Just imagine if you had militants busting down our door. You're all under arrest for the gospel. Well, they do that in China. They do that in Iran. They do that in India and Yemen. They do that in Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah. You can't preach the gospel in a house like this or in a facility like this. You will be persecuted. In Iran, you'll be in an open market, hung or beheaded in front of the public. Look at this, verse 3. And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, okay, a light. Now remember, a light can either burn you or give you divine sight. Look at this. A light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This voice spoke from heaven. Wow. That was probably like a giant megaphone. It just came from heaven. You know why it was a voice that came from heaven? Because the ones that were with him heard it too. So it wasn't a figment of his imagination. Look at this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Oh, no. Saul said, who are you, Lord? Oh, he had a paradigm change now. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Well, during this, it was hard to kick against the goads. It was impossible. It was a pathway. A goad was a pathway. It was impossible to kick that through. You needed a bulldozer. They didn't have bulldozers back then. Look at this. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him, speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Did you catch that? And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Ooh, that's like the boogeyman coming in your room at night. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So that light blinded him. He couldn't see no more. That light that came from God. Look at this, verse 9. And he was there 3 days without sight. Just real quickly, just close your eyes like this. And just imagine being without any sight for 3 days. 3 days. Without sight. And he neither ate nor drank. Boy, that was a fasting thing to do, huh? He was fasting, and I bet he was praying too. Look at this. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said to the Lord, Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's what?
Praying.
Oh, he's praying now, huh?
Yeah.
Just imagine you can't see no more. You're going to be praying. Oh, God, bring back my sight, God. I need my sight. I need to see the beauty of what you created once again. I need to see the faces. I need to see the places. I need to see. Look at this, in verse 12. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, wait a minute. What are you asking me? Look at this. He says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Okay, real quickly, what Saul of Tarsus did, he was the original drive-by.
That's right.
House invader. You know house invasion? He would kick down their door and pull them out and drag them out and take them into Jerusalem. And he would hang them upside down, feed them to the lions, kill them, burn them, and countless others. So many he did. He was ruthless. But here's what I love about Jesus. Despite of that past, he still chose him. I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, despite of your past, he chose you. We may not have murdered like Saul did, but how many people you murdered in your heart? How many atrocious things that we did in our past, and yet God still had mercy? Wasn't he merciful to you? He was merciful to me. And so look at this. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind up all who call on your name. Meaning he was going, are you sure you're talking to me? Listen. Let me just say this. When God speaks to you to do something for him, don't second guess him. Just get up and do it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And watch you be blessed. Because if you don't do what he's asking you to do, he will bless somebody else. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear. Notice, he was a chosen vessel. In the middle of his atrocious sin, God still chose him to do his perfect will through. This is why I said, I don't know what motives I could have had through 18 years. All I know is he called me 18 years ago to preach his word. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the best what I know how. Can I get amen? I want to do his will. And then let the dust settle where it settles. And look at this. A chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. He was chosen to bring forth the message to us Gentiles. If you've been coming on Wednesday nights, we wrapped up chapter 11 and it was all about the disobedience of Israel, where God had to set them aside and now come to us Gentiles. As I shared Wednesday night, there's only two groups of people on earth. You know why there's only two? But here's the thing. We all are made of the same blood. Can I get amen? If you cut yourself over there or scratch yourself, your blood is red. Your blood is red. My blood is red, right? God doesn't look at ethnicities. Oh, and there's some Filipinos here, some Samoans here, some Mexicans here. No. There's only two groups of people on this earth that God looks upon. Is Jews and us Gentiles. That's it. And before the revelation of God was disclosed to the Gentile world, the Bible says that we are a bunch of heathens, idolaters. idol worshipers back in the Old Testament. That's what Gentiles were. They didn't know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of them. It was revealed to the Jews, the Israelites, because God chose them. And now God has chosen us to receive that blessing. This is why I always look at the Jews and say, thank you. Thank you. I want to give them a hug. I want to say thank you for hardening your heart. Because now Jesus came to us. But he's going back to you too. Hold on. Slow your roll. He ain't done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. So look at this. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did he say that he was going to experience a rose garden? That it was going to be a wonderful time? He said he must suffer for my name's sake. Did you know there's nothing wrong with suffering for God? In the correct perspective. That's right. You know, because we live Burger King lives. Having it our way. But when God gets a hold of your heart, guess what? There's some things that you would love to do, but you know what? I want to do the things now that please God. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And look at this. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Look at this. The same light that caused him to be blind is now about to do something miraculous. You got to see, God burns the two sides of that candlestick. Can I get an amen? God is on the other side of the fence at work. When you think he's not. Wow. Look at this. Immediately. Did it say, well, you know what? I need you to say 25 Hail Marys. I need you to run around Sweetwater's football field 200 times. No, he went in there, laid hands, and it says immediately. Say that with me. Immediately. And how fast is immediately? Immediately. There fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And then he arose and was baptized. Notice he didn't have to go through a class to teach you about baptism. Or some churches will wait till summer. And then we'll take you out to the ocean. It was like now. Got baptized right away. I remember we used to have home fellowship here. And I remember my dear beloved brother right here and four other men. It was five of you. Immediately they heard the word. Took them out there and they got baptized. And the booyah fell on Brother Steve. Can I get an amen? Come on. And every addiction and all those stuff was gone. Came out of the water. Changed. Woo! Never the same. Never the same. Come on, that's God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Of what he's done. Man. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. And he arose and he was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately. Again, there's that word, immediately. He didn't have to what? Go to Bible study. He didn't have, no. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. I mean, come on. Listen, you got to remember, though, who he was. He knew the Old Testament throughout and throughout. Because he was what? He was a scholar. He was a rabbi of all rabbis. He was from the line of Benjamin. He was the attorney of the day. This guy was brilliant. And God said, I'm going to use you like you've never been used before, and you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And the apostle Paul became the greatest apostle that ever lived. He wrote the majority of all the epistles in the New Testament. And half of them, he wrote them in prison. What kind of joy is that? Come on. Look at this. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem? And people are going, wait a minute. And was come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving this, that this Jesus is the Christ. You know how I identify with this? 36 years ago when I got saved, my family back then, ex-wife back then, all of them. Yeah, I wonder how long that's going to last. I remember all that he did. Huh? These people said that. Huh? Wait a minute. We know who he is. And look what it says. And he confounded them. And he increased in strength. Hallelujah. The moment God saves you, he will increase your strength. Can I get amen? You will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. God is doing a mighty work. Hallelujah. Jesus said it best right up here. Look at this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for good works in your life. Can I get an amen? He went on to say in the next chapter, look at this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore be full of light. Wait a minute. That light blinded Saul. Yeah, but the light also gave back his vision. This is divine light now. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Wow. But guess what? Guess what's in us now? The light of God. Can I get amen? Now we can see through the lens, through faith, the things of God. Look what else I found right here in John. In John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Who's the light? Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light. Oh, come on. I just shared what we was all bound up in. Some of us were bound up in drugs and alcohol. Some of us had a potty mouth worse than a drunken sailor. Oh, come on. Some of us were toe up from the flow up. We were, man. But yet, look at this. Because their deeds were evil. Our deeds were evil. But look at that. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. How many times did people used to witness to you? I don't want to hear that. Get away from that. Or we would throw the Catholic card. I'm a Catholic. Like you would hold a crucifix against a vampire. I'm religious. Come on, how many times have we done that? Because we didn't want nothing to do with God. Because our deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And that's what God had to do. He had to expose our deeds. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ooh, I'm so glad, God. I'm glad you shone that spotlight on me. But he who does the truth, look at this, comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done, what? In God. Praise God. So let's look at number three. God's supernatural power. So we've seen fire, we've seen light. We need to look at God's power. How many believe that God is powerful? Bible says that he's all powerful. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Did you catch that? Omnipotent means he's all powerful. There's nothing more powerful than him. Omnipresent, he fills all space at once. So there's omnipotent, omnipresent, he's, and omniscient. Knows all things. Did you know he knows you more than you know yourself? So let me just say this. Later on in years, we don't know when it could. Hopefully it never comes. Some people start experience dementia. And they'll only remember that moment. And they'll forget what you said to them yesterday. They'll forget yesterday's day of the last day. Yeah, just a minute ago. But guess what? It's okay. Because if you're a child of God, God didn't forget nothing. Can I get an amen? God will never forget nothing. So don't let that stumble anyone. God already sees the beginning and the end. Amen? And so the same power that God spoke this world into existence is the same power working in us right now as we speak. Look what King David wrote in Psalms right up here. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That is all powerful. I asked this question Wednesday night. Who stops the ocean from not crossing the shoreline and overtaking us? You know, the shoreline is just right out here. We're not far from the shoreline here. But who causes that to not intrude upon us? Jesus holds everything intact. He created this world perfect beyond our comprehension. And he's going to restore it from a fallen state to a blessed state. How many can't wait for the 1,000 years to spend with him soon? It's called the millennial reign, where he will be a ruler and a king from Jerusalem. And guess what? We are going to reign with him. So guess what? He's going to assign you to do something. Come on, get this out of your mind, that we're going to be floating on clouds, playing a harp, eating bonbons. No. He's going to assign us. He's going to allocate. That's right. Bob said we're going to rule and reign with him. Wow. Thank you, God. So, when someone says, oh, wait a minute. Jesus didn't create all that. Oh, yes, he did. And you could take him right here to Colossians. Look at this. For by him, who's him? Jesus. All things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things what? Consist. So you could say, well, isn't that his father? No, that's Jesus. Because the next verse says this. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is? Jesus. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. He's the one that has that prototype body, which he promised you and I to have. Look at this. That in all things he may have the preeminence. So he was always the first, the first, the first. And guess what? He's got a body prepared for you. He's got a body prepared for me. And it's going to be so powerful. That body is going to be so powerful. It's mind-blowing. It'll never be diseased. It'll never grow old. I believe we'll be able to just fly. Come back. Listen, he appeared and disappeared. And when it was time to go to heaven, they all saw him flying into heaven. Right before their eyes, he just flew away. And they were engaged. And the angel said behind them, what are you gazing at? The same way Jesus went away, he's going back in the same like manner. So look at that. That new body, The resurrected body, it could eat. Praise God. We'll be able to eat. Yeah. What a deal, huh? You thought that was... He ain't going to take that away. He knows what we love. But He perfected it. He perfected it. I believe we're going to enjoy... You know how we enjoy the taste and everything? And then it'll just disappear once it gets a certain length below. No, no more toilet runs. There'll be none of that. It'll be a new body. It'll be a glorified body. We won't be held down by gravity. Gravity won't have a law on us. See, the law of gravity is for us. We don't float away. What's that? What's that hamburger kid that holding a hamburger? Big boy. Yeah. I seen a float and it got away and it flew. It was during a Thanksgiving parade and somehow it got away and it's floating away. Yeah, because they're filled with helium. It just flew away. Well, guess what? We're gonna have the ability to just... How many count? No more doctor appointments? No more cancer, no more diabetes, no more hypertension. No more cancer, none of that. How many can't wait for that body? And guess what? We're all going to look like we're still 30 years old. Thank you, God. Jesus promised all of us that we could have the same power, and the power can live in us today. Even in these sinful bodies, we could still have power from God. Can I get an amen? Because I got word. I got word for this. Look at this in Acts 1 and 8. And you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many can't wait for that? That power. Well, listen, the power's in us when we got saved. How many of you could honestly say, and I'm not going to hold you accountable to this, because I believe every one of us who's been born of God, we have shared the gospel with someone, haven't we? Huh? Haven't we shared with people, our friends, our family members, countless times? Well, before you got saved, you wouldn't say anything to nobody. But now we got the power. And the power's in us to share. And look how it came. It came during one of the feasts, the seven feasts. Remember, there's the Passover feast, then the feast of unleavened bread, then the feast of first fruits, then, 50 days later, the feast of Pentecost, and then the greatest event that's still going to take place that the world has not yet seen is going to be the rapture of the church, and many believe it'll be on the Feast of Trumpets during the fall feast. And then the Feast of Yom Kippur, it will be the judgment. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, where God and man will be able to tabernacle with Him face to face. How many can't wait for that? And it's all going to be laid out in those seven feasts. Woo! But the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost. Thank you, God. And you got word to back that up, Pastor? Yes, I do. It's right up here. Look at this. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Praise God. Praise God. All of them. Guess how many were up there? How many were up there? Real quickly. No, not in the upper room. The roof would have collapsed. 120. They were the apostles, disciples, and women were there. And guess who else was there? Mary, Jesus' mom, was up in there too. She needed the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? She needed to be saved. Listen. She was just a chosen vessel to bring forth a Messiah. But she was still sinful. This is why the Holy Spirit, which is sinless, came upon her. And she was conceived, and the baby had no sin. Because only the male seed passes on the sin seed. So look at the mind of God. He had to overshadow her with the power of the Holy Spirit so that there would be no sin in his flesh. Wow. That's why he can take away our sin by the blood. Because it was sinless. Just imagine not having any sin. Not even having thoughts of sin. Someone cuts you off on the road, you're ready to give them the high salute. Oh, come on. We still, yeah, pray. Pray. Pray for that anger. And so, the greatest power. Look at this. Then appeared to them divided tongues of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Now, we're coming in. We're coming in. Coming in for that, hopefully that soft landing. Let's hope it's let's hope we land. You know what's been happening lately. Pray for those families that lost their loved ones. Man, that's heart-wrenching to find that out. But we're coming in. Look at this. The greatest power is the resurrection power. The resurrection power. How many love the resurrection power? Come on! Power. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. See, capital S, Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. I need you to catch this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You catch that? Not everyone that says, oh, yeah, I gave my heart to God. I said the sinner's prayer. And you look at their life, and there's no fruit. They have no desire to come to church. They're not reading their word. They're not testifying. They're dead as a doornail. Because all they did was just say something. And the Bible's clear. This is how you can tell without judging them. We're not to judge, but you can see fruit. You if you go to an apple tree and there's a whole bunch of apples, that fruit tree is bearing fruit. Yolanda's son has an avocado tree. It bears fruit 24/7. We go there anytime, just pull off avocados from their tree. It's bearing fruit all the time. But look at what it says here. But you are not in the flesh, that's us, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So how it works, as I said earlier when we were taking communion. When a heart is fully surrendered, then the blood is applied. And once the blood is applied, we become righteous because Christ imputed his righteousness upon you. So now when we stand before a holy God, he doesn't see our sin. All he sees is the blood from his son that covered our sin. Now we can stand before God holy and righteous because of Jesus. Look at that, how it works. So we cannot stand before God with our own merit, our own good works. Just because I raised my hand in a church, I accept you, Christ, and have no desire for the things of God. That was just mumble jumble. But you, who faithfully come and you love the Word, and you're growing, and you're doing works, and that's because the Spirit of God lives in you. Can I get an amen? So give God praise for the Spirit of God that's living in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's only him. Yeah, give him all the praise and give him all the glory, my brother. But look at this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit. Meaning, when God calls us home, we're going to be changed and we're going to be like Him. So the same Holy Spirit, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, is going to raise us up and give us a brand new body like His. Come on. Come on, it's spelled out right there in the Word. Hallelujah. Look at this. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, it's us, through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know what God is saying? There's some things that, you know what? We must learn to die to. Can I get amen? Get that anger out. Get that malice out. Say, God, I don't want to be angry today. I don't want no malice. Watch my tongue. Tame my tongue. Because the Bible says in the book of James, the tongue is an unruly member. It's the smallest member on your body that has the most evil. It's the tongue. So you got to tame that tongue. You got to say, God, bridle my tongue, that I don't curse nobody up, that I don't offend somebody, that when I get angry, that I will keep my mouth shut. Because they could do damage. I've heard it said like this, I'd rather get shot in the leg with a bullet than someone curse me out, because that will never, you can't take that back. I can't take you what you cursed me. I can't take that back. It's going to be embedded, but you can heal from the wound. Cursing, man, I'm telling you, is the most harmful thing you can do to anyone. Learn to say, God, bridle my tongue. Because look at what it says right here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, so put those things to death. Put them to death. The deeds of the body. And you will live. Well, God gives us a roadmap. He gives us the blueprint. It's called application. Read it and then apply it. Can I get an amen? It's that simple. You don't have to be a scholar. Just read it and believe it. Thank you, God. And so, we're talking about light. We're talking about power and fire, right? So look at John 7 here. Or look at this. How do you receive this power today? How does someone receive that? I just shared right now the five men that got baptized that night. Right, brother?
That's right. You remember the date?
John 3:16.
There you go, brother. That was a divine day, brother. Woo!
March 16th, 19... No, it was 2000 what? Yes, you got baptized on John 3:16. Five of you. And the booyah fell on you, brother. So how does one receive that power? We talked about this. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you guys recall this person back in the day. He was in Gerardo's age, my older brother. His name was Jason Dunn. Does that ring a bell? Jason Dunn? This past week, my brother Dale, G, my brother David, and myself went to his hospital room all the way up in by Carmel Mountain Ranch. We shared the gospel with him. He was scared because they didn't know whether his knee can be repaired or had to be hacked off. So we prayed for him. We brought the gospel to him. And we told him. He goes, well, how can I get what you got? Well, I think G's friend brought him a Bible and gave it to him. And so he started reading John chapter 3. And then we took him to this scripture. I go, if you follow the blueprint of the Word of God, not what someone tells you, but actually apply what it says, that's when God comes alive unto you. Because you know what? It's in His Word. And what happened to you, brother, and the four other men, is because of this. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. It says, and you shall. Notice it said you shall. It didn't say you might. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say wait for a text. Check your email. Or check your slow mail. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words he testified. What did he testify? Right up here. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. How many believe that we live in a perverse generation? It's perverse. It's perverse. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were saved. Wow. Now that's what you call a revival. 3,000 souls from that one sermon. Wow. Man. Is God good? Is God good? Jesus said this. He said, I love what he said here in John 7. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the Holy Ghost that will come, the power that will come. It'll flow from your belly out of your mouth. Pastor Art, you remember when you got filled. It just was flowing and flowing. It hasn't stopped flowing. That fountain's there. Hallelujah. Look at this. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to be glorified first. Amen? And so, for those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, here's a question I'm going to ask. Because I know everyone here is saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But look at this, right up here. Ask God for His power by faith. By faith. And it's simple. Dr. Luke wrote this down. Do you know that Luke was a doctor? I don't know what practice he was practicing, but I just knew he was a doctor. Look what he says here. He wrote this down. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Are you asking God for miracles in your life? Are you asking God to help you in your finances? Are you asking God to help you in your relationships? Are you asking God to save your children that are out there in the world, that are still walking in the paths of this world? Are you asking God to reel them back in into the fold? Because He will. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Look at this in verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I close with this last scripture and then we'll pray. Some of you are probably saying, well, that's all good and dandy and yeah, and but I still don't get it. I still don't comprehend it. Well, you know what God is saying? He's not asking you to understand it right now. He's asking you to believe by faith. Because reading the Bible takes faith to believe that God has done all these things for you and for me. And I close with Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. And so, saints, the topic of this lesson this morning was light, fire, and power. And we praise God for revealing these things and for giving us these things, what we need in the day that we live in. If you're watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity now that you would surrender your heart by faith and ask God to come in to save you, to cleanse you, to wash you. And all you have to do is to have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you'll be able to move that mountain. That's right. A mustard seed is smaller than a flea. I like to say it like this. It's smaller than a pulga. But that little seed will grow into a big tree. And so that little bit of faith that you have will move the mountains in your life. And it's all done by God's grace through faith. So if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would give you that same opportunity to come into the saving knowledge like He has done for us. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is He worthy? Is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.